the incorruptible, indestructible word of the Lord. And in hearing you will know, and in knowing you will grow, and as you grow, God will show you the way in which you should walk. God will take you by the hand. He'll bring you into all truth. He'll point out things of His kingdom. This is for you. That is for you. Now go forth and be what I've called you to be and do what I've called you to do. Hallelujah. The Bible is true. Right before we get into the message tonight, I want to read some scriptures. And I want you to listen to these scriptures like you're listening to them for the very first time. And I want you just to be open with what they say. Okay? It's scriptures that I've read before regarding this. We're still talking about God is more than enough. And I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. So you're listening with an open heart, right? Because everything that I'm about to read to you tonight applies to you. Amen? And because it's in God's Word, we can access it by faith, simply believing His Word. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. Well, verse 20 in particular. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works where? Do you know that there's a power at work in you? God is working on us right now, and He's working to conform us to the image of Christ. Okay? Now you need to believe the truth about prosperity. If you want to prosper, you've got to believe the truth about it. Amen? Now I'm just going to read a portion, a small portion of truth, but it's truth for you. Amen? Okay, yeah, I'm going to read these scriptures, then we're going to say a few things, and we're going to get to where we want to go to tonight, all right? Genesis chapter 26, verses 13 and 14. Genesis 26, verses 13 and 14, talking about Isaac. You know something interesting about Isaac? Galatians 4 tells us we are like Isaac because we're of faith, all right? Here's what happened to Isaac, Genesis 26, 13 and 14. Isaac began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Three levels, right? He began, he continued, and he became. He had possessions of flocks and herds and a great number of servants. Guess what? We can have it. It's not something to get our minds past our limits, okay? Joshua 1, 7 and 8. Joshua 1, 7 and 8. Be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may what? In what? Wherever you go. How many's been to some different places? Did you know you can prosper wherever you go? Based on your connection to His commandments. Okay? This book of the law shall not depart out of you, shall meditate in it. Notice He's saying you. Take it personal. Say, He's talking to me. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Okay? All right, 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in what? In all you do and wherever you turn. Does that not tell you that God wants you to prosper? It's not based on where you are, it's based on who's with you. God is with you. Amen? All right? That the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Guess what? He wants you to prosper in your generations. Amen? All right? Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. How many fear God's name? That means have reverence, respect for him. Amen? And he says, let your servant what? Let your servant when? Today, everybody say today. This day, right? Today. Let's make it today. Okay? All right. And I pray and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Okay? Psalm 1, verse 3. Psalm 1, verse 3. Are you getting the picture yet? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in his season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, what? Imagine, whatever he does, whatever you do, shall prosper. Who's saying this? Is this in the Bible? Is this true? Can you have it? Amen. Okay? And then one more, this is the final one, 3 John 2. 3 John 2. Listen to God's heart. Beloved, say, I'm God's beloved. I pray that you may what? In what? And be in health? How? As your soul prospers. How does your soul prosper? You get revelation. You get insight. You get understanding into God's ways, into his kingdom, into his word. That's how your soul prospers. So you can prosper based on the word of God. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 4. This is where we want to go to tonight. Acts chapter 4. The title of my message tonight is simply, no lack? Really? No lack? Really? Everybody say, no lack. Say, I'm turning my back on lack. Hallelujah. All right? Let's get into this. Starting with verse 31. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Man, that's a powerful prayer when the place shakes. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed, there's more than one, right? Okay? Were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon who? Them all. Say, I have great grace on me. I have God's ability. I have God's favor. I have God's goodness. I have God's strength on me. Okay? Neither, notice verse 34. Neither was there any among them that what? Lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who was by the apostles surnamed Barnabas, this is where we get our men's group name, Barnabas group, which is being interpreted the son of consolation or the son of encouragement, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Okay? Now, there was elements that were taking place that were working together that created an atmosphere where no one in the church lacked. He's talking about the church. This is when the church got started. Do you know how many the church was when it started? Any ideas? There was 120, a little bit more than come to BCF on a regular basis. And they were meeting in an upper room, and they were praying, and they were seeking God. And God came into that upper room on the day of Pentecost, and he filled them all with the Holy Ghost, and they all spoke in tongues. And Peter got up that day because he was inspired by the Holy Ghost, and he began to preach. And see, because when they spoke in tongues, everybody in Jerusalem was saying, hey, what's going on up there in that place? And they had to come check it out. And as they gathered around this room, where they heard all this commotion, they thought men were drunk. Peter got up and said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And as he began to preach, as he began to proclaim the word of God, how many people were added to their numbers? 3,000. Now check this out. They went to church in the morning as 120, and by the time the evening came, they were 3,120. In one service, God touched 3,000. Peter didn't even have an altar call. The people came to him and said, what must we do to be saved? He didn't even say, let's all pray and come forward. But God moved on them. So what are you going to do? I don't even know if 3,120 people could fit into that room. So what are you going to do with all these people? All of a sudden now, I don't think the apostles had planned on that. God just said, go to the room and wait for my promise. Jesus didn't say anything else to them. So number one, there was powerful prayer when the people assembled together. If you want God to move, we got to pray. But the thing of it is, today, if you call a prayer meeting, you're not going to get a lot of people that come out. Amen? But they had powerful prayer because it shook the building. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. How many know when you get filled with fire, something happens to you? You can do it, makes you say things you didn't think you could say, and it gives you, it just makes you bold. And thirdly, this atmosphere they were all willing to share. There was no command given to them that said, I want you to sell your properties and bring the money to me. They did that freely. They did that by choice. The disciples didn't write a thing about it. All of a sudden, when the Holy Ghost came in them, they wanted to give and take care of people. They were infected by love. There was a love epidemic going on in the early church. The Bible says that this multitude was of one heart and one soul. Okay? What does that mean? They were united in heart and mind. They were all for the same cause. They were all honoring the same person. They all had a desire to help one another. They were in perfect harmony. You ever hear a duet? When they have perfect pitch, you know, and each man, and sometimes when they hit the same note, the two sound like one. They maintained the rights of their property, but they responded with spontaneous action and they yielded their stuff to the law of love. In other words, they did not go around saying, this is my house, this is my land. Their thought was, how can I use this land for the good of the church? This one heart expression means they had a tender union. They felt alike. They were attached to the same things. One soul means they were close. They had a close and tender union. There was a Hebrew saying that said, they're such good friends, they're of one soul. You know, you ever had such a good friend where they could answer, they could end your sentences for you? Because you knew each other, you understood each other so much. That happens in marriages a lot. Or should. Amen? It was as if the multitude was operating by one heart and one soul. There was one spirit in them all, the Spirit of God. And by God's grace, they agreed on all truth. They had a hearty affection towards one another. They were willing that what they had could be enjoyed by anybody who needed it. In other words, God infused a generous spirit among these. Now, they would sell a piece of property, okay? When we lived in Tennessee, we had our first house. We closed on our house the day before we got married. And it was a nice house, 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. And God filled every room with stuff. And then it was time that God was changing us, and he called us to Pennsylvania. So in 1999, we sold our home, and we made a profit of $10,000. Not bad for your first home and only living in it for 2 years. Now, if we'd have tithed on that profit, we'd have only gave $1,000. But these people, they weren't given a portion of the sale price. They were given the entire sale price. They had extra properties, extra lands, extra goods. And they would sell them, and they would bring the proceeds to the apostles, and the apostles then would distribute it to everybody who had need. Sounds to me just like the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus said, what do you have? A couple fish and some loaves. Okay, bring them to me. So they brought them to Jesus. He blessed them, gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. And did anybody leave hungry? Did Jesus limit them as how much they could eat? You know? I mean, I could see Peter coming to Nate here. Say, now, Nate, I know that you've got a big appetite. Didn't say that. The people ate as much as they wanted. And there was more than enough left over. This is a same type of scenario. They would sell these properties, sell these houses, bring the proceeds to the apostles. Now get this. God would bless the people who brought their proceeds. And in this atmosphere, the Bible said in verse 34, no one lacked. Everybody say, no one. There wasn't one person out of 3,120 that did not have their needs met, because everybody met their needs. They shared things in common. See what happens when you get full of love? And you know, they did not call their own things their own things. They did not consider themselves possessors. They considered themselves stewards. They became distributors in God's kingdom. Barnabas, he was from Cyprus. He had some land. He sold it. Apparently, God must have blessed the salesman, because there were things being sold constantly. I mean, I don't know how many things were sold in that environment, but it sounds like there were a lot of things sold in a short period of time. How many know that when you've got something that is of some value and you want to sell it, God will help you sell it. Can I tell you a story about that? I bought a 1980 Berlinetta Camaro. It was red. It was nice. And I'd drive that thing. Oh, and I'd feel really good when I drove that thing. But within a month of owning that vehicle, I had to replace the carburetor. I had to replace the shocks. And I had to replace an engine. I was driving home from work one night. Thank God I wasn't far. And I cranked up my Camaro, and I'm driving home, and all of a sudden, everything's going fine. All of a sudden, I hear, click, click, bang, 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 bang. If I'd have had been farther from home, that rod would have went through the engine block. So, I bought a rebuilt engine. Now, here's how God works. I was going to New Zealand for a month when I had this car. So my friend and his father, who knew about cars, they said, we'll tell you what, we'll put your engine in for you while I'm in New Zealand. I said, that's awesome, because it saved me a lot of labor costs, because he was a friend that I went to with high school. I knew the family very well, and they did this as a favor to me. And so I got the new engine in that car. And I'm back. I come back from New Zealand. My car's done. I crank it up and I go cruising in my red Camaro. But then, you know, I knew that I needed to sell it. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I need to sell this Camaro. So I thank you that you send me a buyer who has the means and will buy it at the price that I'm selling it at. So I'm in the place where I worked. At that time I worked in a truck stop. I was a cook. And it was my day off, and I was in there, and I was talking to one of the waitresses, and I was witnessing to her. And I told her about my car, and she said, really? I'm looking for a car. And I said, well, guess what? She bought my car. Guess what? She paid me what I was asking for it. Amen? God worked it all out. Because God is good. Because God wants you to prosper. He wants you to increase. He wants you to have abundance. And I know that sometimes situations in life have come up and they've clouded your vision. You think, how can I prosper? Do you know my circumstance? Do you know my situation? God knows it. And yes, you can prosper. You can come out of your circumstance. First of all, you got to change your mind. He did it for many people in the Bible. No one lacked, really? That is an amazing statement. How big is your church? 3,120 people. How y'all doing? Well, no one's lacking. Everyone has their needs, man. Amen? The apostles are free to preach and study and... Okay? See, what happens is generosity overcomes lack. See, when you don't think you can prosper, you don't think you can give. But giving is your way out. Giving is what opens the door. Did Jesus condemn the woman who gave two mites, or did he praise her? How much did she have in her account? Two mites. But yet, she was willing to give all that she had. And here, the master is praising her. He never said, don't do it, because generosity overcomes lack. Start planting seed. Generosity is the cure for greed. Oh, I don't want to be rich because I'll get greedy. If you're generous, you'll never get greedy. Because generosity cures greed. Generosity comes from a transformed heart, prayer, the Holy Spirit, and fellowship. That's what they were doing. If you go back to Acts 2, which if we have time to tonight, we'll get there to see what they did to lead up to this atmosphere. Generous people recognize themselves more as stewards than owners. That's not me. And you know what? That's how I use my vehicles. I had vehicles, and there were kids at school that didn't have cars. But I let them use my. I let my friend from Alaska who didn't have a car. I said, he needed to go to Atlanta. I said, here, take my truck. He goes, really? I said, yeah. I said, take my car. I said, it's God's car. He gave it to me. If you want to use it, go ahead. Besides, my dad's an insurance agent, and it's fully covered. True, that my dad was my insurance agent. Generosity. There was an atmosphere that the apostles, God started adding to the church daily. Generosity as vision. You know what? When I started making announcements for Africa, I was kind of late. But guess what? God has brought me up to $8,000, amen, in a very short period of time. That's a miracle. I'm just like, whoa, God is so awesome. That means that, you know what? If God tells me to do anything or go anywhere, I don't have to worry about it anymore. I'm just going to commit myself to do it, and God will supply. Amen? Generosity enhances vision. It releases power and effectiveness of the vision. Get the gospel preached. Well, how are we going to do that? Here, here, here. It makes it more effective. The generous are rewarded by God. God favors the generous. Here's another truth. Generosity is the backbone of increase. You want to increase? It comes through seed time and harvest. Increase doesn't come through prayer. Well, let me rephrase that. It's a combination. Generosity flows freely out of love and a willing and obedient heart. No one had to tell these people to sell their properties. They just did. They just, something on the inside was saying, you need to sell this property and give it. Okay. They did. Let me read you some scriptures about generosity. Proverbs 11:25. The generous soul will be made rich. He who waters will also be watered himself. The people curse him who withholds grain. Blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. That's Proverbs 11:25 and 26. The word generous is the word barakah. It means liberal or blessing. Proverbs 22, verse 9. He who has a generous eye will be blessed. What's a generous eye? You're looking for opportunities to give, to help, to share, to love, to be a blessing. Oh, can I help this person? Can I help that person? Can I help you? Can I help you? You have a generous eye. You're looking for opportunities. He gives of his bread to the poor. Well, let's start with verse 41. Part of the atmosphere that they created to create an... No one laughed, really? That is amazing! Let me tell you something. You want to get excited? Does no one laugh just apply to them, or does it apply to you too? Say, it applies to me. I can be a person that does not laugh. You know, Pastor Fiona and I, we were talking today, and we were just considering our situation. She was like, that is just pathetic. She is like, we are limiting ourselves. And that's right. We limit ourselves sometimes by not embracing what God said. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized the same day were added. How'd you like to baptize 3,000 people? That is a large baptismal service, let me tell you. Man, if 120 baptized 3,000, you're baptizing at least 30 people apiece. Boom, boom. That's a lot of baptism in one day. And there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued. Everybody say continued. Oh yeah, a lot of people get started, but they don't continue. I'm amazed how some people look for excuses not to be in church instead of looking for excuses to be there. Oh, believe me, I hear it a lot. Not from anybody here, because you're here. They continued steadfastly, verse 42, in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in teaching, learning. Do you realize 3,000 people had just come to Christ? Now you've got to teach them what it means. Who is Christ? I just believed on this person. Now, who is he? What did he do? They got to be taught. And they continued in teaching. Say, I love teaching. You must love teaching because you are here on a Wednesday night. They continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. Christianity was not to be meant done as singularity. In other words, If you're a Christian, no man is an island to himself or herself. You better be around other Christians. Amen? That's important. That's what they started. Okay? Fellowship. And in breaking of bread, having communion, and in what? Prayers. They continued in prayers. Well, I've been a Christian for 10 years now. I guess I could stop praying. No. You better continue in prayers. Fear came upon every soul. This is not a fearful as being afraid. This is a fear of reverence and respect of God's things, God's people, and God's places. Came upon all people. See, when we continue in what we're supposed to do, we instill a good, godly fear in people. Okay? And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Everybody say many. What's a sign? It points to Jesus. What's a wonder? They believed, were together, had things in common. Man, I gotta take pictures of my son, his graduation. Oh, I have a camera. You can use this one. Man, I gotta take my family to this place. Oh, I got a van. You can use this one. We don't have any food in the house. Oh, don't worry. I got some extra. I'll give you some. That's what was happening. They had things in common. Verse 45. And sold possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Generosity. Giving. And they, continuing how often? Everybody say daily. How'd you like to have church every day? That's how it started. I don't know how we got to week, but they were starting every day. Daily with one accord. In the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. In other words, there was no pity parties of what they gave. They were glad. Everybody say glad. Say it with a smile on your face. They were glad. Why? Giving brings joy. Paul quoted Jesus as saying it's more blessed to what? Give than to what? Receive. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people. They went to the mechanic and they had favor. They went to the dentist and they had favor. They went to the doctor and they had favor. What happens when you have favor? Things work out better than what you thought they would. When you have favor, people do stuff for you that you didn't even intend for them to do. When you have favor, you get promoted. They had favor with how many people? Is this the Bible? Is it true? Can you have it too? Yes. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Boy, I need to get my act together. They added to the church daily, such as should be saved. So in this atmosphere of attending church, listening to teaching, fellowship, praying, and giving, that was the atmosphere in which no one lacked. Amen? And I find it interesting that there was a lot of people as part of this church that had a lot of extra stuff that they could share with other people. I mean, in order to have a house, you got to have a house to sell it. You can't sell a house you don't have. It didn't say that they were homeless. They must have had more than one house. Everybody say more than one. More than one house? Yeah. Did you know what God promised the disciples? He said, if you forsake all and you follow me, you will reap in this lifetime houses, fathers, mothers, sisters, brethren, 100-fold in this lifetime. Can you beat God giving? When you give to God, you are investing in His kingdom. You are investing in the Kingdom Mutual Fund. The Kingdom Mutual Fund has never experienced a loss. It's never experienced what was the bad thing in 1920s? Depression. Yeah, the Kingdom Mutual Fund never has experienced a depression. I couldn't think of the word. Thank you. Ever since the Kingdom Mutual Fund has been created, it is adding, it is growing, it is expounding, it is reaping in abundance, and people who invest in the Kingdom Mutual Fund never lose. They always come out better than when they started. Do you think that we in Palmyra could create an atmosphere where people don't lack? Can we pray? You know, we have at our church, we have meet, greet, and eat. Do you know why we have food in the kitchen? We provide an atmosphere for people to build relationships. That's what we've been having food, I don't know for how many years now. Because we give people the opportunity to build relationships. Because we want to create loving relationships in a loving atmosphere. And if you go in our kitchen, you are not allowed to gossip. Because Miss Dottie will get on your case if you start to gossip. So I believe that we can create an atmosphere just like they did. And we can take care of one another. We can help one another. We can bless one another. Amen? And we can see God add to this church daily. Such as should be. A lot of people in Palmyra, Campbelltown, people that need to be saved. Why not get saved here? Why not come to the Lord here? But we all have to do our part. You can't sit there and say, well, I'm glad they're doing their part and my part. No, you got to do your part. Amen? Your part is to be connected. Your part is to serve. Your part is to exercise your gifts. Your part is to just be available for however God wants to use you. All of us have gifts. God brought you here for such a time as this. We need to start a revolution. Amen? We're not giving people dead religion. We're giving people Jesus, the Holy Spirit, His words. Amen? And listen, prosperity is not just about money. It's about your health. It's about your family. It's about your future. It's about your overall well-being. God wants each and every one of us. His prosperity is not based on your current circumstance. Anything else other than the Holy. It is our time, this time. Amen? Together we make up a combine. And we've got to reap the precious fruit of the earth. We got to bring it in. This is the barn. All right? This is the barn. God wants this barn full. He wants wheat coming out the door, coming out the windows, coming out the back doors. Because He wants to build His kingdom. He said, I will build my church. We are the church. Amen? So listen, tonight, if you're not prospering in your body, God wants to anoint you to prosper in your body. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. He wants you to be in health. Why? Because if you're not in health, prosperity is not going to do you any good. Amen? And he wants you to prosper in your soul. He wants you to learn. He wants you to get revelation. He wants you to grow in the knowledge of God. He wants you to prosper in your mind. He wants you to come up with witty inventions. And why not you? God wants to prosper you. And if you want prayer tonight to prosper, what do you have? Well, maybe you can just put that in the kitchen and after church and hang it up so people can have that information. But I believe with all my heart that God wants you to prosper. Starting right now. Starting in this moment. Remember we read that scripture? This day. God wants you to prosper right now. You don't have to wait. Well, I'll prosper when I get this. No, let's start prospering right now in our minds, in our hearts. Let's receive the word of God. If you're listening to us, just say, God, I want to prosper. I want to increase. I want to grow. I want to prosper in my mind, prosper in my body, prosper in my life, prosper in my relationships. Cry out to God and he'll meet you. And if you can, send us a message. Facebook us. Send us an email. God bless you. And if you're here tonight, I just believe that there's an anointing. It's a catalyst. God just wants to set a spark. You know what happens with a spark? It causes a fire. So God just wants to ignite within you. If that's something that you want, if that you've been drawn to receive prayer, then come up right now in the name of Jesus. We have accepted too many short things for too long. It's time to multiply. Not divide, not subtract. We want to add and multiply. Father, in the name of Jesus, let your anointing to add and multiply.